It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In the wake of the ambush shootings of a dozen Dallas police officers that left five of them dead, we're talking today with a frequent contributor to our conversations about police community relations, former Pittsburgh Police SWAT officer Sheldon Williams. He is a member of the Citizen Police Review Board, and we're going to discuss how last night's shootings escalate the concerns of cops, and also about balancing perceptions related to last night's tragic events and the shootings of black men by police this week in Minnesota and Louisiana. Sheldon Williams is currently the associate administrative pastor of Allegheny Center Alliance Church and joins me now in studio. Sheldon, good to have you back with us. Welcome.
Thanks, Paul. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
We know that you have been listening to coverage throughout the day here on WESA and NPR. You can join the conversation with a comment or a question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, the number 412-246-2002. We'd like to get a dialogue going and hear your concerns, your comments, your questions. Sheldon Williams, you are a former Pittsburgh police officer who is still very much involved with police community relations here. I can only imagine what you are feeling today after 12 Dallas police officers were cold-heartedly gunned down last night. Five of them are dead. Yet another tragic event in a very violent week in America.
Yeah, it's so heart-wrenching and disturbing what has happened. And my hearts go out to those everybody in the community, not just the law enforcement for which are dealing with the aftermath of this, but the whole community as well. Very disturbing acts that occurred in Dallas, but equally, my heart goes out to the incidents that happened as we try to understand the reasons and the processes for which the officers or the officer-involved shooting, both in Minnesota and also in Louisiana. My heart goes out to those communities as well.
You are someone that sees what has happened this week through the eyes of both a man who is an African-American citizen in the city of Pittsburgh and also as a former cop who, as I mentioned, is still very much involved in police issues as a member of the Citizens Police Review Board. What particular concerns do you have about this?
Well, first of all, let me say that without any further thought, the actions of the individual against the Dallas police officers, there is no justification for those actions. And no matter how you start with the conversation or the angst or how upset people may be about the previous incident for which people were coming out in rifle and appropriate protest, exercising their rights, these actions that come out to cause harm and danger to police officers, no way can you say that there's justification for that. So standing firm, there is no justification for that. Even in process to understand, to have conversation, to make change, no one can take these type of very disturbing acts and think that they are appropriate. And additionally, when we talk about the elements of justification, and it needs to be stated that some people may not understand as we try to get to the place of justification, even in the actions of the police officer in the earlier shootings of this week, police-involved shootings, there are processes in place that be able to determine when an officer acts in such a way, were those actions appropriate? Many individuals may not like the results of those processes, the investigation, and in the way that it's determined whether it was justified or not. Some may not understand or believe that it was justified. But those actions have to be processed in a way so that we can get the totality of the circumstance and get to a place to be able to make that determination. So with that being said, whether it's agreement or disagreement, and usually people want to verbalize their disagreement to what is the result, there's a proper process to that. And some people are just fueled, and even with anger, people have a right to be angry about things, but there's a proper way of managing that anger and to think that you can do lawless acts because you're angry and want to bring attention does not support, nor does it help us as a society. And so those two elements that very much so are troubling because of what has happened as people try to understand and try to process it. But we have to understand that the processes in one aren't exactly matched up to the processes of others. The actions of this gunman, hopefully a lone gunman, who acted in the way that he did to take the lives of those officers, don't follow the same process as those earlier ones. And it's the law of the land that we have now for which we need to follow. And we have to appreciate what has been afforded to us. When people have disagreement, we need to go through the right channels to bring light to the issues of disagreement.
So all indications are that those responsible for these shootings in Dallas were doing so in response to frustration. There was the shootings earlier this week of black men in Louisiana and Minnesota. But this is, you know, we've seen many instances like this in recent years. So what are we seeing here? Or is it vigilante justice or what?
Yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, what we tend to do is when these incidents happen, and really we've had multiple incidents over the past few years that has bringing great attention to the issues of police community relations. One thing that we have to guard against, I understand that it looks like another incident involving the same components, whether it be the conversations people are having, white police officers and black victims. And so let's not snowball every incident forward to say that in its totality, here's the issue. Because in each of those shootings, there might be an issue that's different. But I don't want to detract from the conversation that when we look at it and we see the prevalence of incidents that happen involving those same components, conversations need to be had to say, okay, why do we see this with such frequency in these instances, and be able to have conversation to make sure that when we get to the elements of justification, it's appropriately justified in the actions of the police officers. And so we don't want to cloud that and cause a blur. And when you get to the part where people acting out and out of their frustration or in response to, there's no appropriate way, no helpful way that we could say that actions that were taken, such as they were in Dallas, would ever be the appropriate response, even in all the anguish and angst that people feel about the earlier incidents. The two can't be conjoined together and think that one is the cause of the other and feel that it would be appropriate. Should be separate and understood that one problem needs to be fixed and the actions of the other. And when people are trying to understand and be able to express their anger, what are the proper channels to do that, and not think that this situation that evolved and that has happened in Dallas would ever be appropriate.
412-246-2002, if you want to join our conversation with former Pittsburgh Police SWAT officer Sheldon Williams. He's a member of the Citizen Police Review Board and is currently the Associate Administrative Pastor at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. He has been a occasional guest on this program, someone who took part in a discussion that we had with the mayor and Police Chief Cameron McAlay, among others, back in October of 2014, to address police community relations issues in Pittsburgh. And since that time, nearly 2 years ago, it does not seem as though much progress has been made. There is frustration in communities across America, and we saw it evidently culminate in a very violent, horrific shooting of police in Dallas last night. We'd like to welcome your comments and questions at 412-246-2002 here with Sheldon, who will be here for the majority, if not the remainder, of this time that we have on the air following the comments of the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch. And Sheldon, what should we be doing now to address this? What kind of conversations can we have, bearing in mind that we are seeing a very frustrated African-American community in communities all around the United States and certainly here in Pittsburgh?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's go back to a very consistent complaint that occurs in the African-American community when it relates to police community relations. And I said before that even when the use of force, which for which the earlier shootings would be classified as a use of force option that the police officers used in these earlier shootings of in Louisiana, Minnesota, the number one complaint against police officers is not use of force. It's actually discourtesy. And those interactions that probably happen many more times than the actual use of force, especially the use of deadly force against people. So this thing about discourtesy, and it could be somebody's perception of discourtesy or disrespect, or it could actually be an actual element of disrespect. So I want to hive that out, because those are some of those common interactions between citizens and police officers that has been part of the conversation for many, many years. That people feel disrespected and not valued by some members in law enforcement. Not painting with broad brush to say that all officers treat. That is not the truth, and it doesn't happen. Even when officers act in a very assertive and in a very direct manner, does not mean that that's disrespectful. But there are points and times when officers do act in those manners that feel disrespectful and could be appropriately disrespectful to individuals. That's been part of the conversation. Individuals not feeling valued or respected. And so these complaints come in, even with proper police interaction and procedures, some elements of it feel like, well, you know, they were just disrespected in a way. So that continues to be part of the conversation. And you're talking about the angst and the anger and the frustration that people have, because when complaints come in, and how do we properly address some of the mindsets, behaviors, activities of individuals who are in extreme levels of authority, understanding when an officer is being direct and firm to be able to bring a law enforcement action may not necessarily be disrespectful, but also when the behaviors of that officer have kind of crossed the line to be able to appropriately address that in a way so that we can curtail some of the sentiment. And so the disrespect continues, and that's what keeps building on these building blocks that furthers the frustration, that leads to anger, that people begin to react. This type of action like this is reactive, totally reactive. There's nothing proactive about actions taken by individuals to act in this way. It's totally reactive and should be limited to the individual who has been involved in these incidents. But we should not let the conversations be that there's any element of justification or understanding just because we've been fueled by anger and frustration to feel like this would be an appropriate response. So the conversations have to be, how do we continue to improve? And really, Paul, I said to my wife before I left out the door, and it's part of the conversations for which I think are healthy and helpful, and I appreciate you even inviting me to the show today, but I really want to understand, as we continue to look at what are next steps past conversation, what are the next steps that we do to bring forth some sort of blending and understanding and collaborating and cooperating in such a way that takes it past just words and understanding, it takes it to places of action so we can get to some action points to be able to reverse some of the elements that we know and talk about commonly in our society. So we need to determine those. What can we do past just talking to bring forth some sort of help and some sort of change to the situation?
412-246-2002 to join our conversation with Sheldon Williams. And we have some callers holding, and we'll get to all of you. Again, 412-246-2002. Let's go to David in North Braddock Hills. David, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Condolences to the five officers that were killed. And I'd like to say that as long as we see each other as the enemy, that the problem is going to continue, because, you know, you got the officers, and then you got the Black Lives Matter. You know, they feel that they're the enemy, and they don't realize that they're being protected. But yet, you know, they're feeling like, you know, they're the enemy, and the people are being shot, and they don't know how to react to that. And they don't know that the police are there to protect them. But yet the police, we don't know what's on their mind. So, you know, we don't know about if it's a enemy versus enemy type thing. But then we got shows like Cops that reinforce it when we see police officers taking on black black people and taking on them. And then we see that, and then we reinforce it in society. So we got a bigger picture going on here. And so we got issues of race in society. So we got issues like that that continue to build upon the problems that go on in the African community and also in the minority community. So we must address everything when we talk about what's going on in society.
David,
thank you very much.
Thank you. We appreciate that. And what about David's comment, Sheldon, that that we are seeing each other as the enemy? And one of the things I know that that Chief McLay has tried to instill in this community is trust between, particularly between members of minority communities, if you will, and the Pittsburgh police. He knows that there's a serious lack of trust there, and it goes back to incidents like Jordan Miles, mm-hmm. That case, among others, that have caused distrust among citizens, particularly African American citizens of Pittsburgh and the police. We're seeing this in other cities, and perhaps that's part of what, certainly part of what fueled what happened last night in Dallas is just this idea that some people see the police as the enemy, mm-hmm. and they believe that the police see them as the enemy.
Yeah, very appropriately stated, and that is a sentiment that exists in our communities. And I would like to say that first, I highly, highly commend Chief McLay and his efforts. Can he do all things right? He's balancing multiple things to bring balance, and I really appreciate his efforts and support them and contribute where possible. And additionally, others who have been very instrumental, even Commander Holmes, Eric Holmes, and newly appointed Assistant Chief Larry Scarrato, and Marita Bryan, who's now Superintendent of County Allegheny County Police. Point being, these officers who are operating along with our Sheriff Mullen, they all feel and understand what exists, and they have a lot of history and understanding and experience. But to his point about the enemy, and this element of disrespect, and when it happens on a consistent basis and the sharing of the conversation, it's funny because some people's perspective about incidents, which I commonly get asked about situations involving friends and family members or whatever that are involving the police, some of them, many of them, you just sit back and listen and you hear that there is some element of just perspective that was offered there that looked like disrespect, but there is appropriately parts where there was inappropriate behavior. And so when you have the right people in place that will stand up and not just take on its face when somebody raises a complaint, that they appropriately address the complaint, be able to bring understanding, and then make the substantive change to try to reverse that. That's the appropriate steps. But the enemy aspect that he talked about, we have an anti-sentiment that's just permeating in our society. You have anti-police. You know, some people feel anti-black, anti-white, you know, there's anti-gay, anti-government, anti-church, there's anti-everything. And when we have this aspect of being against and all the things that go along with that, we can't continue in this element of always standing so starkly against everything. Now, am I saying that, you know, when we talk about this word of tolerance, what I'm saying is when we start down a mindset that I'm going to stand against, where do we actually have the open door to be able to stand with somebody to get to areas of understanding? It may not be agreement, but always should be an element of understanding. You and I may have a topic. We may not absolutely agree on a topic, but I need to understand and appreciate your perspective. There's no harm in understanding. And so we got to get and build other aspects where we can get to elements of understanding. And when it relates to police community relations, understanding protocols, policies, you can't give the whole playbook of law enforcement to citizens, but there are certain things that we can express that will help to minimize the perception that some people may have because they don't have anything else to build foundation upon to help them to understand.
Before we go to break, let's take one more call from Brian, and then we'll get to other calls as we progress toward the top of the hour. Brian in Pittsburgh with a comment. Hi, welcome. You're on with Sheldon Williams.
Hi, gentlemen. Hi, Sheldon. I'd just like to make a comment. I am a white man and middle-aged, and I'd like to address the issue of the fact that, and I'm generalizing, not speaking for all white people, but I think it's important. We as white people, we really need to stop critiquing and really telling people of color what racism is, what it isn't, telling them how they should feel and what the issues are that they need to solve, quote unquote, and really start to listen to people of color. And that involves relationship. That involves connection. And in Western PA, in Pittsburgh, we are so segregated, we are so separated, that it is very, very difficult to connect with across the ethnic and color boundary. Sheldon, you're a minister, and I thank God for that. I'm a Christian. I think, Sheldon, the church really has to be the incubator of this conversation that is of utmost importance. And it just has to happen. It really does.
Brian, I'm going to jump in. We appreciate your thoughts. We're just a little tight on time, but I want Sheldon to have an opportunity to respond to your comments here. And one of the things he's saying is that the church, the clergy, needs to step in and take a proactive approach to deal with what we're seeing, this kind of violence.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. That's one element of our community that can have a substantial impact and being able, and there are many people in community that do that. And so with clergy and with those with faith beliefs, with the appropriate value systems built into our faith beliefs, it implores us to not lean on to our own value systems, but try to adhere to a value system that is appropriate or different from where we would not have good intentions that it pulls on us. So when more people have that counterbalance, then they have an aspect of being able to have some element to challenge what they might be feeling personally. And so I do believe that that has a big impact. But I want to speak to something real quick. He talked about the value of him as a white Caucasian individual and understanding that of somebody of different race, me being an African-American. He's hitting the nail on the head. It's saying that, you know, individuals feel like it's huge harm to try to just understand the perspective of any ethnicity that's different from theirs. And so, again, I go back to my statement that many individuals may not agree with all the elements of a person who is raising the issues of their perspective or their experience, but having the conversations, the connecting points to at least get to elements of understanding builds building blocks so that we build bridges and we stop with this whole divisive aspect of society, brings us together to be the community that we intend to be and that we say that we are, all people. And so understanding what all people really what really means and not segment and try to partition out individuals from that. It's understanding individuals and where they are.
My guest is Sheldon Williams, who is a former Pittsburgh Police SWAT team member and an officer with the Pittsburgh Police for several years before becoming a minister. He is currently the associate administrative pastor at the Allegheny Center Alliance Church and is a member of the Citizen Police Review Board in Pittsburgh. And we will continue our conversation with Sheldon Williams. We will take more of your calls at 412-246-2002. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are having a discussion in the wake of the shootings of the 12 Dallas police officers that left five of them dead, talking with a frequent contributor to our program, a former Pittsburgh Police SWAT officer, Sheldon Williams, a member of the Citizen Police Review Board, about how last night's shootings escalate the concern of cops, and also about balancing perceptions related to last night's tragic events and the shooting of black men by police this week in Minnesota and Louisiana. We are welcoming your phone calls at 412-246-2002. And we had a caller who we lost, and I don't know how that happened, but if that individual would like to dial us back at 412-246-2002, we will try to work you in. Your comments are important to us and anybody else who'd like to join us at 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH@WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, the number 412-246-2002. And I believe the individual that we lost is now back on the phone, Mary Ann in Pittsburgh. Hi, Mary Ann. Welcome. You're on with Sheldon Williams.
Hi.
Hi.
My initial comment is a lot of this starts from the home, where we're not taking responsibility for our own actions. Our kid comes home with a bad report. Oh, it must be the teacher. Comes home from out and about. Oh, it must be the business owner. We have to teach our children responsibility, and we need to be there with, as both parents. And just the occasional, I buy this for her or I do this for him, isn't enough.
So you're saying, Mary Ann, that, that not enough is being done to instill values in children.
Sure.
And Sheldon, I think you would like to pick up on that.
Yeah, I greatly appreciate those comments. And I think that that's the starting point. You know, how do you really teach ethics? You can introduce and provide experience and begin to shape what's right and wrong. And that starts at a very early age. But even later on, as I begin to train officers, they come with different various aspects of value systems and ethics. And what I'd explain to them even in the academy classes is that hopefully that they would conform to what the norms of society and those ethical value systems. But say that an individual didn't absolutely embrace that or had those elements of ethical value systems that would be common, then the next thing you can really do is administrate it. And so that's where policies, rules, and guidelines will come in. So somebody doesn't follow certain expectations and they don't embrace that in their heart, then you can actually put some motive behind them by administrating. That's where different things come in with discipline and retraining stuff. And so, you know, the other aspect that I like to speak to is that when she's capturing what she just said about teaching what's right, one of the things that is highly burdening to individuals, especially to like my wife, Faye, who has lived a life as a wife of a police officer. And I'm listening to her comments. If the facts are what they are and true, and I know that we don't have all elements of the conversation, so those who are hearing and listening to me, I'm not suggesting that all of it in its totality is understood now. But if we take the video of the young lady who videotaped her boyfriend after being shot, if all those aspects are true and they come out to be true, I have some concern that that individual seems as if he was doing what was right and appropriate. A person who possesses a firearm, who is legal and permitted to carry it, seems to be from early reports, and so I don't want to discolor, but an upstanding individual, so because some people will rally behind looking at criminal history to try to cloud whether or not something's right or wrong. But it looked like an individual with no criminal history and was following the commands of the officer in an unfortunate incident, saying unfortunate, not in a justification. Unfortunately, somebody lost their life. And so if that was taught, the burden, she says that I have a son who's in the military who grew up as well, but he has a right to bear arms and does just like I do. If he does everything right, is there a fear and a concern that he could end up? And that's a real fear and concern for my wife. And I don't want to dismiss it, even with all that I understand about tactics and policing. And similar people hold to the same sentiment that you can do what's right and there's still a fear or concern that something may go bad. That has to change, Paul, and we have to find the ways to be able to equip our officers to protect us as they desire to do when they put on a uniform, and the citizens to also appreciate and understand the value of having that, but not have this awkward conversation, these awkward incidents of ambiguity where tensions continue to rise because we have misunderstanding in the middle, because it is fueling a lot of hearts of individuals who have grave concern for their safety.
Let's go to Phil on the north side at 412-246-2002. Hi, Phil. Welcome. You're on with Sheldon Williams.
Good morning or good afternoon, Paul. And thank you, Sheldon, for coming on. I just wanted to make one comment, or perhaps a couple, listening at the beginning of the program, and now it's evolved a little bit. But what seems to be a prevalent attitude whenever these type of reactions, like last night, the tragedy that happened last night, is, quite frankly, it's like a lecture to the public about reminding us how difficult it is to be a police officer, which we all know and appreciate. But there never seems to be, on the other side, any condemnation of these type of actions from police officers towards this type of actions. And we know there's nuances in how things came about, but there's never seems to be any criticism. And again, people are watching these scenes. They're seeing people be pulled over for infractions, which, why is that happening? You know, why is it escalating from something so minor? You know, when all the things we have to deal with, we're pulling over for infractions, and the next, you know, there's a dead body.
So
there's no, it seems to me that there's no humility on the position of law enforcement to recognize their own history of how they're interacting with the citizens. But what happens is we want the citizens to respect the police officers, and I agree with that. But how about reminding police officers that they have a difficult history to overcome themselves?
So, Phil, you're saying that
perhaps humility might be, you know, an answer to that.
Okay, you're saying cops need to look at themselves more critically.
As a group, and I would love to hear officers break down and criticize, you know, other officers when there's beatings, when there's inappropriate action, rather than, what do they call it, the blue wall of silence. You know, whenever there's any other groups, something's done, there's always an expectation of other people in the group to condemn those actions.
Okay.
You
have made your point, Phil, and it's a very good one. And Sheldon, yes. Phil's talking about a blue wall of silence.
Yeah, he makes a great point. And let me clarify the blue wall, as it's called. And actually, it's really called the blue line, the thin blue line. And what has been articulated from the thin blue line is people's perceptions of officers and their and their response to certain things, and that's why you can get to the term called the blue wall of silence. But that's different. A thin blue line is really known as that line of officers. It's blue because it represents law enforcement, but it's the line between chaos and order, and the officers stand between that to make sure that they maintain order and to protect the very lives. So he is appropriately stating a perspective that when certain actions happen and there's not an appropriate or if there's any response to certain actions that very much seem apparent and justified to have some sort of outcry.
He's saying that cops should break ranks. What I'm getting from him is that he's saying that when something like this happens, the police, and I think we can understand why, generally want to stick together, and I'm sure they're instructed not to comment until procedures are taken and an investigation takes place.
Yeah.
That having been said, he's looking for more criticism from within. Is that something that can happen? Would it make a difference?
Yeah, and what happens? Your point taken, it that sometimes officers are limited to be able to speak out on incidents as, you know, certain things are happening in the investigation or trying to understand it. But what he's saying, the first stop should be the officer speaking out is in the commission of whatever may be inappropriate, and many officers do. And so what they do in the moment is that if somebody's becoming emotionally charged, there should be an immediate check with the officers right there on the scene. And so when it doesn't, or when certain actions or behaviors that very much seem, we see it now with all the cameras and stuff like that, that people want to hear officers, I think there'd be some sort of relief if they had officers that would be able to stand up and say, we feel that this is inappropriate. But there are actually aspects of that that not only prevent officers from speaking out, as you mentioned, with policy, but they got to find the right venues to be able to have those conversations. Officers do not arbitrarily just stick together on every incident. But I will say that there needs to be more opportunity for officers to find ways to be able to, when incidents happen and they're not appropriate, to find the ways to have the conversations to build the trust in community.
And we'll have to leave it there. Sheldon Williams, former Pittsburgh police officer, member of the Citizens Police Review Board, joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh. Sheldon, great thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up, some 1,500 demonstrators are taking part in the Still We Rise March, kicking off a two-day gathering of activists from around the country. We'll talk with one of the attendees, former Seattle City Councilman Nick Licata, author of the book Becoming a Citizen Activist. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.